Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday, Cleveland, and boy, oh boy, is it a Browns Monday if we've ever seen one. You have a starter announced, we have reaction from Dylan Gabriel's start, we got it all, and then on top of it, the Guardians going through and sort of disappointing everybody over the weekend, so we're going to have to get to all of that as well. Plenty coming up. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here from 7 to 11. We have Gabe Kalura running the board as well. You heard her on the 2020s, doing work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us tonight. I mean, truthfully, this entire weekend was just a wild card of sorts. I was just enjoying my life, enjoying time. I get to watch the Browns. I get to watch Dylan Gabriel. I was like, okay, the weekend's off to a fine start. Then everything after that, it felt like I was just living in a just whirlwind of just, okay, I'm over here. I wanted to watch UFC, did not watch UFC, but still got to see part of it that I wasn't very happy with, but we'll get to that and get a grip. But like, there was a plenty happening where I just felt like I was all over the place, and I didn't really get wrapped back in and reeled in. Like I felt all over. We felt scatterbrained today, beyond belief. From when I woke up, just being like, we're doing a show today, and there's plenty to go off of, but the brain just did not want to work, and I didn't feel like I got fully just reeled back in until, and Joe Flacco named the starter, and I was like, okay, and we're back. Here we go. And we're ready to roll, which is what I want to talk with you guys. Because I think in a lot of ways, like, this was a formality. Right? There wasn't much to, okay, well, you know, Joe gets named the starter and we're perfectly fine. And everybody knew this was coming. It was just a matter of time, it felt like, at this point. It was like, all right, when we get to this week, we expect it to happen. And if it doesn't, we still expect Joe to be under center week one, probably taking snaps. If they would have come out and been like, we're not ready to name a starter just yet, I would have been like, okay, I'll see Joe when we take on Cincinnati. Thank you very much. Like, I know he's going to start week one, or the preseason week three, going up against the Rams. I know that's coming. So I'll just see Joe when we get to week one against Cincinnati, even though you're telling me it's not going to happen. Or we don't know what's going to happen. We all knew what was going to happen. So, like, again, in one way, it's a formality. In another way, I think it's an odd look and just sort of a what happened in this preseason, because it was supposed to be the battle between Joe and Kenny, and then, you know, Kenny's been hurt all but 4 days of training camp, essentially, so you didn't get that true battle. Neither of the rookies stepped up in a way that was like, oh, I gotta go to this kid. He's taken over and he just looks amazing. Like, Joe's clearly looked like the best quarterback throughout training camp, and even getting to see Shador and Dylan, who I thought both looked pretty good during the preseason, I still know when Joe walks out there, he's going to be twice the quarterback that those guys were in their current moments. Joe's going to toss a tight spiral. Yeah, sure, he'll turn the ball over a little bit, but I know that everything's going to run smooth under Joe. But I don't know if that leads me into like satisfaction with the decision. Because Joe always, in a way, felt like the emergency backup plan to be your starter. Like, yeah, we're bringing Joe in if guys A, B, and C can't prove themselves that they take the job. If Kenny can't step up and prove that he's a true reclamation project and you have to start him, well, I'll start Joe. If neither of the two rookies just light the world on fire when they step up, well, then I'll start Joe. So I think that in a way it's like, okay, well, if you're committed to winning like you constantly say you are, and you can just over and over again go back to that same line of, you know, until we're not trying to win, we're trying to win. And that'll be, you know, week 18 when it's all said and done. Then they'll be like, right, and we are still trying to win. Yeah, this offseason, we're trying to win right now. Okay. We're focused on the offseason trying to get a win there. It never changes. The messaging never changes. So in a way, Joe gives you the best shot to do that. So I'm okay with it. I'm not dissatisfied with it. It's just kind of a almost blah feeling getting Joe named to be the starter. Again, for the reasons I laid out of like, you knew it was coming, but it's also the least exciting thing that could have happened. It is the default, here's the plan that we have if nothing else surprises us, which tells you probably nothing else really surprised them. We knew 40-year-old Joe Flacco wasn't going to surprise them. I mean, Kevin said it himself. He looks like the exact same guy that he was 2 years ago. Okay, so I know exactly what product I'm getting. And while I think a lot of fans were happy with that product, I just don't know that that's really the goal that you're striving for. Like, you had the number one ranked defense in 2023. Still a first-round exit. The offense still crumbled playing the Texans, who were not some all-world defense. Like, they're a good defense, but it's not like they were the best defense in the National Football League. So I think you still run into the exact same struggles. It doesn't change the perspective on the Browns season to see Joe the starter week one. It's just the same conversations we've been having now being brought into true reality of this is exactly what we expected, and now it's happening. I thought Jeff Phelps on Baskin and Phelps today laid it out in a very clear way of it making sense, but not necessarily being what the Browns wanted.
Under the current situation, it would seem that starting Joe in week one is the right move. To me, overall, it's a colossal failure. You brought in four quarterbacks. The one who starts is the 40-year-old. One of the two rookies didn't look good enough to beat him out. The guy who might have has a pulled hamstring. You're starting a 40-year-old guy, not long-term. To me, it just screams you're going to be drafting your quarterback next year.
So in a way, like I think Jeff maybe it takes the line a bit too far in the world's colossal failure, because I also think that that's the expectation. Like, you were banking on three long shots of come beat out Joe Flacco. Like, Kenny Pickett has not looked great at any point during his NFL career. Well, let's call it what it is, a winning record, but he has not looked great at any point during his career. So Kenny going in there and looking better than Joe would have been surprising to me. And a third and a fifth round rookie, even if I can sit here and tell you I don't think Shador was a fifth rounder, you can say the exact same thing. It was a third and a fifth round draft pick to go out there and beat a guy going into his 18th year of the NFL, almost as a starter in every single year. Obviously not every single one, but almost every single year. Like, yeah, I don't expect a third or fifth round rookie to come up and take that job from an established veteran either. So I don't think you can deem it a colossal failure. It's just all the long shots you were out there trying to make happen didn't happen. It's like placing a plus 10,000 16-leg parlay, and you're like, ah, it missed. No, your betting day was not a colossal failure unless you were just going and putting massive units down on 16-leg parlays, which there's a number for that. That you should probably, you know, get out and call that number. Like, if you were just tossing pennies on the dollar at it, you don't look around and go, oh, that's a fail. You go, well, would have been nice if it worked out, right? But here we are, still chugging along. A little bit, very slightly worse for wear than if it would have worked out, but it doesn't really change the outlook that I have on life right now. The same way that this doesn't change the outlook that I have on the Cleveland Browns. It is, Joe, get in there. Do what you can do and try to show me something. Try to show me 2023 magic can once again be found. So I think as I sit here with a blah decision of Joe being your starter, it's still the case that I look at, like, would I have picked it to be the one that I wanted? No. Am I going to be disappointed and in a bad mood because this is where the Browns start of the season is heading now? Also, no. Like, I'm still as excited and have the exact same expectations for the Browns as I did 2-3 weeks ago. You could go back to probably 2 or 3 months ago. It's almost the exact same feeling, except for maybe now they played the Eagles a little better in joint practice. I feel slightly better about where they were at. But overall, the sentiment feels the same. I still think the Browns are going to be evaluating the quarterback position through 6 games, and you're pretty much going to determine, does this team have something or not, after 6 games. But it goes to show that everything that the Browns have set up to this point in regards to the quarterback position and the actual play they were getting, there really wasn't anything they were doing other than naming it a four-man competition, which it clearly was not. Everything else, they've pretty much gone straight up and told you what they thought. All right, well, Joe's you know, not taking too many reps because we don't want him to be hurt. Joe's taking a lot of the first team reps when he's out there. You get the joint practices, he's taking those. We don't value the preseason games. You get two.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
At least solid preseason starts out of your rookies, and it does not change anything. Again, like if we go back 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that was the same feeling it was when I'm watching Shador not get reps with second teamers, and I'm watching Dylan Gabriel, while Kenny Pickett was healthy, not get reps with first teamers. I just think that's the boat we were all landing in anyway, so I can't sit here and act as if something crazy has happened. I think any reaction in a vast, just, you know, you're trying to blow up and make this one way bigger than it is, you're not doing any favors here, right? You're just telling me that you weren't following along on the storyline, because I think the storyline was painted very clearly. The Browns told you basically what was going to happen, and after Kenny got hurt, it felt inevitable. And when the inevitable arrives, it's like, okay, well, here we are, let's move forward. In the goals and what I want to see out of this season stays the exact same. I still want to see both rookies get onto the field. I still think, like I said, the evaluation comes 6 games in. Is Joe still the starter? Is he not? If you're 2-4, might be leaning going towards the rookies, heading towards week 7. If you're 3-3, one game might be the difference to change my mind and say, eh, you're still competing and you got an easy part of the schedule coming up. Let's see more of Joe. Like, I think everybody still wants to see the rookies. I still don't think they're viewing Joe as this long-term answer and full-year bridge quarterback. They're just trying to make things work. And I think we can be both inspired by what we saw out of the two rookies and say, okay, well, you at least got two competent performances out of these guys. And then look towards Joe and be like, all right, bring me the best you got. You're 40. I am going to try to squeeze every ounce of talent that's left in your body and every win that you have left in your career out of you this year. And until that fails, that's going to be the plan moving forward. So am I satisfied with that decision? If I look long-term at the Browns, no, but I knew that's where they were heading. Am I satisfied in the season and telling me if you're trying to win that this is going to give you the best chance to do that possible? I mean, yeah, if you want to win, you made the right decision. Joe's going to do that for you. So I come out of today with, I guess, a pretty level-headed and expecting the exact same thing I've been expecting for months. 216-474-0092. Are you satisfied with the decision to start Joe Flacco heading into week 1? Got plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. And you can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Station Buzz coming your way here at the end of the hour at 7:40. We are going to get into Guardians talk, kicking off the 8 o'clock hour before we'll eventually get to Dylan Gabriel's performance and how that stacked up with Shador's. Get a grips at 9. We're going to bring in Mackenzie Flume in the 10 o'clock hour for another edition of You Gotta Pick One. But right now, 216-474-0092. Are you satisfied with the decision to start Joe Flacco? I mean, listen, if you're trying to beat the Bengals week 1, Joe's going to sling it. Bad defense. I mean, at the very least, I can be excited for that, right? I can be excited for week 1. I mean, watching Joe throw against, what should be close to a traffic cone defense, especially if Trey Hendrickson isn't out there. That'll be a not too great of a pass rush, unless Shamar Stewart's just a god. But, like, I'm going to be watching traffic cones. Joe should light up week one. I don't know if you win, but he should light up week one. I can be excited for that. So 216-474-0092. Are you satisfied with the decision to start Joe Flacco? We're going to get to your calls coming up here in 5 minutes as well. Just how long is that leash for Joe? Right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with the guys here on Overtime. Asking you 216-474-0092. Are you satisfied with the decision to start Joe Flacco? I told you guys, like, I don't know that there was really a different decision from where you're at right now. Like, everything that's led up to this moment feels like, yeah, you made the right decision. Like, my stance from yesterday to today certainly would not change. This is not a blow-up moment thinking, what have the Browns done? But it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. You just had three long shots that didn't work out, and here you go. Move forward. Still want to see the rookies at some point, but you sort of take what you have, and we'll see them later down the line. I don't think a lot of us wanted to necessarily see them in the first six games anyway. But I want to get some of you guys in on this again. 216-474-0092. Let's get out to a couple of you guys. Thomas is in Shaker. What's going on, Thomas?
Hey, hey, Jake. How are you doing today, by the way? Happy Monday.
I'm doing good. I mean, for a Monday, we've gone from scatterbrain to now I feel good. After getting the first segment out of the way, I feel like we're dialed in now.
All right, cool. I'm locked in, too. All right, let me say this. I personally am, since training camp started, I wanted Joe Flacco to be the week one starter. This is somebody who really didn't like Joe Flacco the first time around. It's appropriate because I think that the best thing you could do for our two quarterbacks who are behind him, Shador and Dylan Gabriel, I don't think about Kenny Pickett because his hands are little. I think it's the best thing that could happen to them because they're learning behind an experienced veteran. And, you know, for so many years, we had these rookie quarterbacks come in the city and we threw them to the wolves. And I just think that there's something to be said about watching how a veteran prepares, how he preps, and how he goes about running a game plan. And I think that Shador Sanders and Dylan Gabriel can learn a lot from that. And I just think that this is just a good long-term plan for us.
Isn't it funny, Thomas, how quickly that all goes out the window for people of just like, we threw him to the wolves, and we're like, we're never going to do that again. And then Shador is here, and people are like, throw him out there. He's ready. Every time.
No, I learned my lesson. I think there's a lot of people who share my sentiment about that. I just think that the best thing to have, I don't want us to use those two first-round picks on a quarterback next year. That means this season was a failure. This season is a failure if we use one of our picks next year on a quarterback, because that just means that neither one of our rookies develop, and that I would just hate that. I really don't want to waste a first-round pick on a quarterback.
Yeah, it's tough, and Thomas, as always, I appreciate the call. Mm-hmm. It's even hard to view it that way. I mean, obviously, I think this season is kind of set up for that anyway, but I don't even know that you can take away the season as a failure. Like, that is goal number one, is obviously get the quarterback and get the young quarterback, and you drafted two of them. Let me see them. Let me see if it works. But I do draw back, and I know people, anytime I say Shador Sanders and fifth-round pick in the same sentence, I start to pull their hair out, and I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But, like, anytime you draft two quarterbacks in those spots, you don't necessarily expect them to turn around the franchise. You would like them to. It would be ideal if they did. Like, you don't even expect it. I think you could walk away from this year, especially considering all of the other guys that you brought in, and being like, was the season a massive, just a hell of success? No, there's a really good chance we walk away from this year not feeling that way. But can I have a stepping stone towards getting in the right direction and hopefully this thing only being this year or this year and next year into turning around to getting back to where you were? With guys like Schlesinger and Graham and Fannin, you can toss in Judkins, potentially, Sampson, and even Isaiah Bond at this point, being like, wow, the Browns went and added a lot of really nice pieces that could help you. Like, I don't think it's solely attached to the quarterback. It's just, it's heavily attached there because we all want to see it happen. But there's a reason the Browns are okay moving down, not taking Travis Hunter, just grabbing Mason Graham and going, I'll make sure I have two picks for next year. They made it entirely clear when they drafted their first quarterback in the third round, they didn't think this draft class was all that. Like, they didn't feel that there was a superstar just waiting there to be taken at the position that was going to be ready to go and flip your franchise in a year, or else they would have went and taken that guy with the number two overall pick. Or they would have taken that guy even in the second round if there was some sort of belief there. But they took two guys that they liked and are trying to move forward and make the best of it. 216-474-0092. Dustin is in Burton. What's going on, Dustin?
Hey, man. Nice to hear you, bud. Glad to be here. Originally, I was calling the dog the whole thing, but you kind of explained it pretty good just now. Like, I will say this, though. Like, you have seven picks, man, and four of them you spend on a quarterback and running back. And we had Nick Chubb and Deshaun Watson. I the way you just explained it, like, kind of made me say, okay, yeah, no, I get it. Like, if there's nobody better on the board, but man, when we need talent at wide receiver, we need talent on the offensive line. We got to build some stuff in the defense a little bit, you know, add some depth. And you throw away four picks on two positions that you already got people at. You already got, you know, Flacco. Like, why do that when you can try to build something deep and try to, okay, we get it. You want to throw it out there and get Shedeur Sanders. I understand that. He should have been a much higher pick. That, to me, was like, okay, cool. But when you start getting into it and you're throwing away four picks for one person that's even going to step foot on the field, man, like, that's a disaster in my mind whenever you have so much you're trying to build. And not just that, but, like, you look at the things that this ownership and management has done over the years. They do things that, like, you sit there and say, oh, wow, Deshaun Watson, all right, we're going to win the Super Bowl, Super Browns. And then you find out, oh, wait, there's details here. This is not good. Like, things like that. It's just the Isaiah Bond thing to me was a steal. Like, that is probably our best pick this year, and we didn't even pick him in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, from a field standpoint, I think he looks really good. And Dustin, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah, no doubt about
Isaiah Bond's good. He's good. I'm excited about it.
And Dustin, again, I appreciate it. I just think, like, that's a guy you should be excited for. But yeah, like, I just don't know. Yes, do I question two running backs and two quarterbacks in the exact same class? I do, but I know how the Browns operate. Like, and I was listening to Howie Roseman. He was on, I think, part of My Take at some point, and I caught a clip of him basically talking about, like, the second that you start drafting for need is the second that you make a mistake. Like, as soon as you go through and you go, wow, Browns, we really need a safety this year, and you know what? We're going to go get one in the second round, not because I love the talent, but because I've convinced myself that I really like that guy, because I know I need one, and I need a game changer at that position. So I'm going to convince myself a kid's really better than he is. Like, that's as soon as you make a mistake. So, I mean, in one way, you can look at it and be like, okay, they drafted two quarterbacks. They still could be making that mistake. But to tell me you didn't burn the number two pick or the two second round picks that you had right there with guys still sitting on the board, like, they could have convinced themselves, well, you know, maybe Shedeur's not to the level that Tyler Shuck is at right now, but maybe we could make Tyler Shuck work. Like, the fact that you didn't do that, it tells me you stuck to your guns. They just felt that they got guys at the right value in the right position, which hasn't panned out for them. Like, this has not been something that has worked, but it leads you to at least having a little bit of hope at the position. And if you can turn something around and make it work, great. And at the end of the day, if they're two developmental pieces, which I know for a guy that spent 6 and 4 years in college between the two of them, nobody wants to hear developmental, but that might be what they are. And if they turn into a backup, like, for a lot of third round quarterbacks, career backup would be a great thing. It's just, you stare at, you have no quarterback, I'm starting a 40-year-old, why don't you draft me a quarterback? And all of a sudden, third and fifth round pick become legitimate options to be starter week one, and I want to see that guy on the field. But it's the exact same thing that we talked about with Thomas. It's like, okay, and you can go out and do those things, but we've run through that cycle how many times with guys like Johnny and Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer, where it's like, all right, we're going to convince ourselves this is the guy, and you throw him out there, and it's like, yeah, he wasn't ready to play football in the National Football League, not even close. Like, he was not an NFL quarterback. He was not ready to do it. This is at least an admittance of those guys aren't ready. We're at least going to pump the brakes and see if, you know, they're ready later down the line. And in a lot of spots that I don't think you had previously, you at least have a guy that you trust to start for a little bit. Like, that the city is actually behind and has seen play and can be a little excited for. I got no problem with Joe. Let's go back out of the phones. Jason's in Brook Park. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jake.
Absolutely, man. What do you got?
I was just, you know, to me, it's the easiest thing in the world. I mean, they were 3-14 last year. They're projected to be about the same or maybe a couple games better. You got Joe Flacco. I mean, I know there's like a folk hero love affair with Joe Flacco in the city, But, I mean, for what it is, I mean, other than Aaron Rodgers, he's the oldest quarterback in the league. He's not taking you anywhere. So why don't you just take the two guys? I know other people have said this to one degree or another, but take the rookies, let them go out there after a game or two, and see what they got. See what you have in them. Give them a game each. One plays 1 week, the next plays, you know, the next. And then whoever played better, give them multiple games, some consistency. And then, you know, if he's not ripping it up, then go back to the other guy. See what you have. Because, like the guy before said, you don't want to waste another quarterback, another first-round pick on a quarterback if you don't have to, if you had the guy in the building already. But if you don't, you absolutely want to draft that quarterback because you got two picks. Because I don't think the Jaguars are going to be much anyway. So you're probably going to have two very high first-round picks. So, yeah, it would be better to get, you know, maybe a wide receiver, you know, or you know, some offensive weapons with those two picks and surround them around, you know, whichever the rookie quarterbacks does better. But, I mean, I think that one of the biggest problems is the guys that do the picking. I mean, Barry and Stefanski, to me, I can't believe they still have jobs to begin with. They need to, that's one of the biggest problems there is. Get rid of them, too. Bring in a new staff to pick. To see, you know, if they have the quarterbacks through this, you know, this season doing what I said, or if they have to get it through next season in the draft, it should be somebody new doing the picking. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and Jason, I think where you and the Browns disagree, and I appreciate the call. I think where you guys go in different directions, and I'm not saying that you're wrong by taking the direction you take by any means, but it's like a philosophical difference. Like if they were going to do that and just throw the rookies out there, they would have had to. Even without saying it, commit to, all right, well, we're going through a rebuild and we're tanking. That would have included trading away Myles Garrett. That would have included taking a lot of the veterans off this team and just keeping with the younger guys and trying to reset for a new window, which I have said from the beginning, that is what I would have preferred them to do right off the jump. So, like, in a lot of ways, we're the same. But at this point in the route that you've taken, I think the only reason you can't go out there and just be like, okay, well, Shador, you're going to start week three, and Dylan, you're going to start week four, and then we'll figure it out from there, is because everybody else sitting in that room came back on the idea that, hey, you know what? Maybe we just got an unlucky break. Maybe we didn't have a quarterback, and at the very least, you know, Joe can get us somewhere that is respectable, if not competitive. And that's what everybody is in there fighting for. The second that you go, we're going to start at Dylan Gabriel. If Joel Bitonio and Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku all look around and they go, they're really starting this kid? You've already lost the season. You're done. Like, he is going to have to go out there and prove, not just through playing the same way that Joe would have played, but he is going to have to so far exceed Joe to gain over their trust and everything that goes into making them believe that the Browns are where they need to be competitive this year. They don't think he can do it. Like, I don't think that you're going to be able to convince those guys of doing that. I don't think, really, either of the two quarterbacks, as much as I think there's a ceiling for Shador, and as much as I think there's a floor for Dylan Gabriel, I don't think either of the two of them are capable that early on going out there and just knocking everybody's socks off inside the room. So, I don't even think that's, at this point, realistic. If they had done it from the start, and they said, you know what, until we have a quarterback, we have nothing, it would have worked, but without it, you're left with this. 216-474-0092. Just how long of a leash does Joe Flacco have for you to start this season? We're going to get into that as well. The station buzz in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Getting swept by the Braves. Not gonna push you towards getting to a playoff spot, and might be the complete opposite, actually. So we're going to talk about that coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to get into Dylan Gabriel's performance in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But I was asking you guys at 216-474-0092, hey, just how long is the leash for Joe Flacco? And we're going to do the station buzz coming up here in a few minutes. But I think this is the question in which everybody is trying to address right now. And it's going to be the one that is ever evolving as we continue to move forward sort of in this conversation. Right? And throughout the first few weeks of the season, it's going to be, okay, where do you sort of pull the plug on Joe? Right? Like, if you get to a point in the season, I think this is where evaluation now comes in. It's like, yes, we all want to see the rookie quarterbacks, but let's be realistic about it. The Browns are going to pull the plug on Joe Flacco when either, obviously, he gets injured, or when they feel like there's not a chance for them to be competitive any longer this season, or that chance is far off, and it's more about evaluating the rookies.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right, the ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I still think that range for me, even though people want to be like, start Joe for two games, I don't think you're going to get that answer. Bare minimum, 4 weeks into the season. And I think it does kind of stretch out. Browns will tell you they're not paying attention to those first six games. I guarantee you, if they're trying to get an evaluation on a rookie quarterback, they care about those first six games. They care about the defense that's going to be out there in front of them. Do I really want to put them up against the Ravens? Nah, probably not a great way to make your debut. Like, I'm imagining you're not going to go, let me see that guy for 1 week, and especially if it's Dylan Gabriel, because we know how much more volatile fans are going to be if he has a bad performance compared to if Shador has one. But if you were to go to Dylan Gabriel and be like, you play the Ravens in your first week. Yeah, we saw how that went when we put DTR out there against the Ravens in his first week. Yeah, it didn't end so well for DTR, now did it? I think they're going to be very conscious of, we want to start these guys and not necessarily give them like a warm-up game, because that doesn't exist in the NFL. You come out, you perform, or you don't. There is no warm-up game. But you also don't want to just throw them to the wolves. So I do think that there's an understanding there of you're never going to be out of it before you get to six games anyway. Even if maybe if I'm 0-5, you might think, real tough shot. But even with the schedule coming up in a game against the Steelers, it's like, all right, if you can get to 1-5. And do I want to put a rookie out there coming back from London going up against Pittsburgh? I don't know that I want to do that either with that defense. So I do think you're realistically looking at six games. And I think the leash for Joe is going to all depend on the record, because it's the only reason he's out there. You're not using Joe for anything else other than to win me football games. And if I'm looking at Joe and it's like, you're not beating the teams that are at the top of the league, okay, well, I want to do more than just slip into the playoffs and then lose by 40 in the first round, okay? Again, I don't want to emulate the Pittsburgh Steelers here, okay? We're not just trying to get in and then get killed in the first round and be two touchdown underdogs. But if I get to a point where I'm like, I'm 2-4 and I beat the Steelers and I beat the Bengals, okay, well, those are probably the two easiest games on your schedule at that point. Maybe an argument to be made for Minnesota, depending on how they look. Maybe an argument to be made for Green Bay. But I do think you take Bengals and Steelers, probably the two easiest games out of the first six. If those are the ones you take and you go, I'm 2-4. I know I still have to play everybody in the division one more time. I still have to play the Bills later down the line. Like, is 2-4 going to get me there? And how competitive do I look? Anything under 2-4 is an absolute I'm hitting the eject button by week 7. It's like, thank you very much, Joe. If we're 1-5, we're 1-5. It's clearly not working with you. Let's see if it can work with one of these other guys. And the answer to that question might be no, but that's all right, because we've already dug our hole here. But I do think that leash is sort of six games, show me what you have. And if there's a chance you're not getting me to 3-3 or a playoff of being 3-3, I'm probably just hitting the move on. I'm going to take the next, how many weeks does that give me? I'm bad at math here. Does that give me 13 weeks? That's way too many. 11 weeks. There we go. We got there. I don't know why that racked my brain so difficultly. Like 17 minus 6. I did take honors math throughout high school and was initially majoring in computer science in college. So that, not a good look, but we got there. Just took a second. Some real brain power being used. But no, you get 11 games, okay, at the very worst case scenario, that's 5 or 6 games for one guy and 5 or 6 games for the next. And that is a sample size for those guys. I don't know if it's a great one, but you get a sample size for your two rookie quarterbacks. But I don't think you're getting anything much shorter than that. Like maybe, again, if you're 0-4, 0-5, you start to rack your brain and think if there's something different. But for the most part, probably not. 216-474-0092. How long is the leash for Joe Flacco? We'll get to some of your guys' calls coming up that later on. But right now, let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off, and let's start with Nathan Zagura, analyst for the Browns Radio Network, on today with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. And Nathan, needless to say, not surprised by Joe being named the starter.
I mean, at this point, it was, you know, it was expected, as we talked about, you know, recently, when Kenny Pickett has not been able to be in team drills since, you know, the fourth day of training camp, he hasn't been in the competition. And you look at the schedule out there, not to mention that both Gabriel and Shador missed times, and you look at the schedule that you're opening the season with, your first six opponents were a combined 40 games over 500 last year, you weren't going to rush a rookie out there. And so Joe Flacco, by not only being the best quarterback that's been here, by being the most available quarterback that's been here, Joe Flacco sees this job, sees the opportunity, and he's going to go in there and be the starter week one. So not surprised. Again, I think it's, you know, we never got to see this play out and really be maybe go the in the competitive way that the Browns had hoped when they had these four quarterbacks here. But what we saw was Joe Flacco be consistent and Joe Flacco standing tall, literally, at the end of it.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, I told you guys, I'm in the same boat as Nathan when it comes to not being surprised. I do think that if fans want a legitimate gripe, and we've been saying this, it's the fact that this was never a four-man quarterback competition. Like, there was never a chance, hey, let's just call a spade, that Shador Sanders is ever winning the starting job. He was not given the opportunity to win the starting job prior to the oblique injury. He certainly wasn't going to be giving it, even if he would have played on Saturday against the Eagles for the second half. He still wouldn't have been winning the starting job over Joe. Now, again, maybe part of that, I don't think he's looked better than Joe Flacco, so I don't think he would have won it anyway. But if you're going to tell me you're going to run a four-man competition, he should probably run a four-man competition, or don't tell me it. Like, those are the two things. Tell me, yeah, rookie's got a long shot. They got to really prove something, but hey, we're going to go to a veteran. And then I've been like, okay, clearly we end up with Joe. We'll see the rookies later on. It's really the only gripe I have with how they ran the quarterback competition. It's like, even Dylan Gabriel, I don't think really got a shot to win the job. He got a better opportunity than Shador did. I don't think he ever really had a chance to beat out Joe, though. Like, you hand him all the first team reps in the world. I think even if they would have went to perfection, I think if he would have, with every rep in the first team, made a completion, they probably would have been like, I'm still going to go Joe. So it probably still feels like Joe's job. We've been preserving him. He's still working with the ones. So that part is the only one that bothers me. Maybe Kenny had a chance to beat him. I don't think anybody else really did. Let's keep moving. Zach Jackson of The Athletic on today with Ken and Anthony. And he threw out his quarterback depth chart heading into the season, which I think me and Zach disagree.
I think it has to be Flacco 1 and a healthy Pickett has to be 2. I don't think that you can have a rookie backup to start the year. Right? So after four-ish games, we'll see. There is a chance that I'm really wrong about that and that Dylan Gabriel will be the number 2. But evidence, not what we've seen in analyzing, but what we've seen in the reps and the presentation, is that there is no way that they regard Shador Sanders as close to passing Dylan Gabriel right now. So the number 2 will either be Pickett or Gabriel, and that will be health dependent.
So, and Zach obviously made the admission, and like, obviously we have a ton of respect for Zach, but like, I'm almost in the complete opposite boat. I don't know how you start this team, and you get to the first 53, I understand if Kenny's going to be on there. I'm not going to overreact to Kenny being on the first 53. The final 53, I might have a problem when Kenny's sitting on the roster on the final 53. Like, okay, so you told me I'm not ready to start a rookie quarterback, and neither of these guys are ready. The longer that Kenny Pickett stays on the roster is just any opportunity for those quarterbacks to actually take reps to just be ripped away. Like, but an injury, Joe just absolutely plays like, I mean, hot garbage. Like, I don't see that happening, but God forbid it happened. If I got Joe three quarters into a game with four picks, do I really need to see Kenny Pickett close out the game? Or would I rather see Dylan Gabriel jump in for a quarter of meaningless football and get some reps under his belt? Or Shador jump into a meaningless quarter of football and get reps under his belt? Yeah, I'll take the rookie every single time. Like, if nothing else, the preseason game, I'm not judging much off of it. I think both guys look nice. I am taking everything that I've seen from that and go, I have two competent quarterbacks. I have two guys that can legitimately make throws, and they're not going to go out there and I think look like DTR. I think they showed that just through the numbers in which you can watch. I think they showed that in just actually watching them. Like, red flags with both. Neither were perfect, but either is Kenny Pickett. Like, he's not making every right read on the field either. So do I need the veteran backup to be like, I don't know, don't want to send these guys out there too early? No. I don't need Kenny Pickett on the roster at that point. I'm sorry you were injured. We'll send you off. I'm sure New Orleans or somebody else will pick up Kenny Pickett and give him a chance. This is not the end of his football career. So, yeah, no problem letting Kenny go. Okay, I burned a fifth-round pick. I'll live with that. I'll live with trading away a fifth and getting nothing back from it other than a Kenny hamstring without one hamstring. Or Kenny hamstring. Kenny Pickett without one hamstring. He basically is Kenny hamstring at this rate. Like, yeah, I don't need to see Kenny on the actual depth chart. Don't need to see it happen. And he'll be listed at two if he is, and I think that's the biggest problem that they could make. All right. Scott Petrak, BrownZone.com, on today with Baskin and Phelps. And he gave his thoughts on Dylan Gabriel's first preseason action.
I thought Gabriel had struggled through big chunks of training camp. So to see him have success in a game was important because I think it, I don't know if the organization had doubts or not, but I would think they should have. And I think that gives everybody more confidence that, okay, this is the guy they thought they were getting when they took him out of Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, and we're going to talk about Dylan's performance coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. I think that he showed a lot of, the size is going to be a real issue, and probably tossed a lot of that to the side through a good chunk of his performance. He can have problems with other things that he did and other mistakes he made. I think he made it pretty clear. Like, me standing at the height I'm at least in the first action that I've seen, it didn't really make a difference. He was still completing passes over the top. He was still able to see his receivers when they were open. It was not any real issue with that in the slightest. So I think we can take Dylan Gabriel's performance and try to bash him for it. It can be critical, but it wasn't a bad start. He did just fine. And I think proved a lot of the doubts that everybody had about him and probably turned them the other way. Not to say he's QB1, but he looked all right. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Station Buzz. Like I told you, we're going to talk Dylan Gabriel and his start coming up at 8:20. But I do want to get to the Guardians. Being swept by the Atlanta Braves sure feel like it killed all the momentum in a playoff push. In 5 minutes, in overtime, with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.